Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from what is known as 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning with verse 26, and St. Paul writes by divine inspiration, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Last year, Tim Tebow became quite a phenomenon. A lot of Christians were surprised that somebody who outwardly, publicly professed the Christian faith in any way, shape, or form became such a popular hit in our culture, although he certainly faced a lot of ridicule as well. This year he's a backup quarterback, and yet if the Jets continue losing as they have, you may be hearing about him again very soon. We are so surprised as Christians, aren't we, when somebody in a very public way professes Christ, especially if they get some notoriety for that. That's just not the way we usually see things in our world. St. Paul's words before us are so true today, that throughout time, for the Holy Christian Church, it's very rare that anyone who in any way takes God's word somewhat seriously and wants to profess and confess Christ to the world would have any notoriety or any fame at all. We think of our Lord's own disciples. Think of the band of disciples he gathered around him. They're kind of a miniature picture of the church in this way. They were all lowly, common men. They had no great popularity or notoriety. None of them had any great income, it appears, any money at all. If you were near them in the marketplace, you'd probably move away because they smelled like fish. How rare it is that we hear of someone who is of any popularity in our culture, of any notoriety in academia, of any great wealth, who expresses a love for Christ and his kingdom. Now, there might be some. St. Paul says, not many. That means there will be occasionally, once in a while, some. And boy, do we kind of glom onto that, and we talk about that, if that ever occurs. But they're pretty rare, aren't they? God would have us know and understand, as believers in Christ, that if you love your Savior, and if you align yourself with him and with his church, if you apply his word to your life, and by God's grace, make him the center of your life, don't expect the praise of the world. And don't expect to be showered with all types of money. We should expect that the Bill Maher's and the Jon Stewart's and the creators of South Park and the entertainment world will mock and ridicule us. We should expect that. We should expect that academia will belittle our faith and consider us to be irrelevant idiots. We should expect that our culture and our society will attack us and all the things that we hold precious. Expect it. Years ago, to my confirmands, I used to say to those eighth graders, this may be the last time anybody gets to educate you in the Christian faith before you go off someday, let's say to college especially. I used to say to them, I'm warning you that there will probably, unless you go to a school like a Bethany, I always got my little ads in for Bethany, but unless you go to a school like Bethany, you will probably find your faith under attack in the academic world. I remember one young lady called me about a month into her freshman year at a college that supposedly was Christian, but really was not. And she said, I remember you warning me about this. Her professor was calling her an idiot. I remember you warning me about this, she said, but I didn't think it would be this bad. When you feel despised and relegated to the realm of being an idiot for your faith in Christ and for wanting to hear what the Word of God says and apply it to your life, St. Paul says to us, this is precisely where you should expect to be. But our loving and gracious God, the Almighty God Himself, conceals Himself in the things that this world considers to be irrelevant and ridiculous, the foolishness of the gospel St. Paul has been addressing. In the text before us in the Greek, the words for base things and lowly things means things that are just completely irrelevant and insignificant. He goes on to talk about things that are treated with contempt. It's a Greek word that you would use for something if you were building a house and you found a board that was so warped you couldn't use it, you threw it aside in the junk pile. That's how the world looks at the things that God uses in His kingdom and the way He operates in His kingdom to build His church. But it's not where we would expect to find God. It's not where we would expect to find the amazing treasure that He gives us. When the wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the birth of the Son of God into the world, they expected to go to one of the nicest palaces there was. The last place they would look would be an animal trough. While the world is paying attention to the Fortune 500's top billionaires, our Lord Jesus is focused on the widow and her mite. While the world is rejoicing over the latest technological advancement, heaven is rejoicing over one sinner who repents, even a whore. God hides His goodness and goes about His work in the ways that this world would consider to be lowly, despised, and irrelevant. And He hides His goodness and His grace in, of all places, the dead body of a criminal. The very payment for your sins, the very purchase that was put down so that you could go through the gates of heaven someday, the very forgiveness of sins that you need from God, has all wrapped up in a dead body. Now, God has chosen to operate this way, St. Paul informs us, so that no one can glory in His presence. No one can claim that they became a member of God's kingdom of grace because of their wealth, because of their status, because of their great intellect, because they had the capacity and the mental capacity to make a decision for Christ, because of any popularity that the world had given them. No, none of that. So that we would see and understand and confess that getting into the church is all by grace. Even that is purely by God's grace. And so here is this crazy band of people in the world that continues to love Christ, slogging along through its day-to-day life, treated with contempt by the world and ridiculed and made fun of. But inside of the church, as St. Ambrose said, scholars are to give way where the apostolic fishermen are to be trusted. True faith alone that God gives in our hearts can see how God hides Himself in the things that the world considers irrelevant, even an executioner's cross, and that God can hide Himself in a trickle of water. He can hide Himself in some bread and wine that if you left it long enough would spoil. And yet here is His church loving these lowly things. And someday they will be transported to their eternal home. Hans Brorsen, a great Norwegian hymn writer, described that transition to glory for the church when he said this: despised and scorned, they sojourned here, but now how glorious they appear. The book of Hebrews says about Christ's church in this world, the world was not worthy of them. The world was not worthy of Ruth Weber. And in like manner, may the world not be worthy of you. Amen. Please rise. And let us pray. Almighty God, You have knit together Your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of Your Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Grant us grace to follow Your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those unspeakable joys which You have prepared for those who truly love You. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Spirit, blessed be.